looks.
We're going abroad for the first time in years. To Spain. So we started using Babbel.
And started learning Spanish fast.
With Babbel, you can start having conversations in another language in just 3 weeks.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
In just 3 weeks, we're starting to have conversations in Spanish. Gracias, Babbel.
Babbel, language for life. Start learning a new language today at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
Why? Just think about it. Why is the number one selling brand of chainsaws not sold at Lowe's or the Home Depot? We can give you over 10,000 reasons. That's how many authorized local steel dealers you can find across the country. Visit one and you'll find a range of dependable gas and battery-powered tools, from trimmers to blowers. And you'll find service from experienced professionals. Real steel. Find yours at steelusa.com. Lowe's and Home Depot are trademarks of their respective companies.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Five people dead after Japan Airlines jet and Coast Guard plane collided at a Tokyo airport. Both planes burst into flames. Everyone on the airliner survived and evacuated safely. Six people, including a senior Hamas leader, taken out in Beirut.
There's been no claim of responsibility, but Hamas, as well as Lebanese media and some other outlets and organizations are saying that the Israelis have carried out a drone strike on those the people there.
In Rochester, New York, police say three people are dead, others injured after a rented SUV full of gas canisters struck a smaller SUV and burst into flames. The dead driver of the rental, Michael Avery, is suspected of doing it intentionally. The embattled president of Harvard University is stepping down from her post. Claudine Gay had been under pressure from prominent alumni and congressional Republicans to resign after her panned testimony on Capitol Hill. This is ABC News. The character of Mickey Mouse officially entered the public domain on January 1st, and there's already a Mickey Mouse horror movie ready to go.
Walt Disney's 1928 animated black-and-white short Steamboat Willie introduced Mickey Mouse to the world, and now that crude early version of the mouse is officially in the public domain. Copyrights in the U.S. expire after 95 years, meaning Tuesday we got the trailer for the low-budget horror film Mickey's Mousetrap.
Gina, turn around, please!
In it, we see a character in a Mickey Mouse mask stalking and attacking victims in an arcade restaurant. Several other non-Disney Mickey Mouse-related projects are apparently in the works. No release date yet for Mickey's Mousetrap. Disney's the parent company of ABC News. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
A new law in Arkansas requires health care providers to ask new mothers if they want to be screened for depression up to 6 weeks after giving birth. The law also requires the screening be covered by both private insurance and Medicaid and kept confidential. I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
Start the new year off with a bang of big savings during the Omaha Steaks end-of-season event. You can stock up on all your favorites and get 50% off site-wide. That's 50% off perfectly aged tender steaks, juicy burgers, decadent desserts, and even classic comfort meals. Go to omahasteaks.com, and when you use code QUALITY at checkout, you'll get an extra $30 off your order. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code QUALITY at checkout for an extra $30 off your order. Minimum purchase may apply.
Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With Venture X, earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges where you just check in and chill out. Open up a world of possibilities with Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. Republican lawmakers have asked the state Supreme Court to reconsider a finding that Wisconsin's legislative district boundaries are unconstitutional.
The court ruled on December 22nd that the current legislative district boundaries are unconstitutional because they're not contiguous. However, attorneys representing numerous state Senate Republicans filed a motion with the court last week. They say they can't meet a January 12th deadline for new maps. The motion also argues the Supreme Court did not listen to their arguments in the case. nor did it give them a chance to respond to the deadline for the new boundaries. The State Elections Commission has said new maps must be in place by March 15th in order to be used for the 2024 election. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Three people were arrested in an Amber Alert kidnapping was ended on Saturday in Iowa County.
Iowa County deputies say a vehicle that was part of a Amber Alert out of Indiana was spotted at a gas station in Barneveld. The vehicle left the station and Dodgeville police stopped the car on US 151. An 11-year-old who had been abducted in Indiana was rescued, and three people inside the car were taken into custody based on warrants from Indiana. Raymond Newpert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Celebratory New Year's gunfire in the Milwaukee area breaks through a wall of a toddler's bedroom. Glendale police say a stray bullet hit a home there after midnight Monday and ripped through a bedroom of that home just above a crib where a one-year-old boy was sleeping. Boy's mother, Marie Moore, tells Fox 6 Milwaukee she and her husband, Tim, didn't see the bullet hole and dent in the walls until they woke up Monday morning.
It's a nightmare. No parent should ever have to go through this. Not your child's room, not right above the crib.
No one in the home was injured from the incident. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly cloudy today with high temperatures rising into the mid-30s. By this afternoon, we'll be battling a breezy southwest wind, and overnight, a cold front starts to push in, bringing chances of flurries by tomorrow morning, which could linger throughout tomorrow afternoon. One call to Tax Solutions Now will solve all of your IRS problems. 1-800-281-8193. Right now, it's 30.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, this is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, a happy new year to you and yours. Thanks for joining us here on AOA, Agriculture of America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Great to be back with you here on the program after a couple of days away. Big thanks to Mike Adams for sitting in at the end of last week as we wrapped up the year 2023. We flipped the calendar over now to 2024, and we have a lot of ground to cover here on today's program. Coming up, we're going to take a look at weather with DTN's John Baranek. How is that outlook for South America? Will we be seeing any chances for snowfall here in the U.S. coming up? We're watching something on the weather models. We're going to talk to John about that here in just a little bit. After the bottom of the hour in segment three, we're going to talk with the president of U.S. Wheat Associates, Vince Peterson. He will join the show and talk to us kind of a mid-marketing year update for wheat. So we're going to touch on that and other headlines with him. And then we'll take a look at news coming up at the end of the show, including the implementation of Proposition 12. All that and more is on the way here today on AOA. But kicking things off, we got to talk about the markets. Joining us now, Darren Newsom, Senior Market Analyst with Bar Chart. Darren, happy new year to you and yours. Thanks for joining us today. Hope you're doing well.
Oh, we're doing well, Jesse, and the same to you. Happy New Year to you and your family as well.
Well, thank you very much, Darren. You know, as I was kind of, I was driving home this past weekend and thinking about what could lie ahead here in the markets this week, because that's what I do. I love the markets, of course. You know, I think of the old adage, you know, new year, new me. Mm-hmm. Does that apply to the markets? Is it new year, new markets, or not so much? What do you think, Darren?
It's a great thought. And you know, from a personal point of view, it's a great approach to a new year. But as we look at the markets, we almost have to ask ourselves, is new year same old story? Because as we closed out 2023, we saw both corn and soybeans on the defensive. We saw, and the key here is we continued to see funds selling. Now, What's going to be interesting to me, one of the key things as we move, to me, there was three key points as we closed out 23 and moved into 24, with one of them being, are we going to continue to see funds getting out of commodities and moving their investment money into equities, into treasuries? You know, we were reading all about, you know, how money market funds were at a record high, you know, as far as investment. Will some of that money come out and go into stocks and treasuries as well? We'll have to wait and see. But to me, if we look at commodities, if we focus particularly on the grains, you know, investment traders are going to be looking for long-term opportunities with bullish supply and demand. And there just there isn't a market that just jumps out at me. Soybeans might be the closest based on what we see in its future spreads. But again, it's nowhere near what it's been in the past. We don't have the inverse situations. We don't even have the inverse situations going on, say, in crude oil these days as well. So I think it's going to be a very interesting 2024 as we focus on that flow of money, all of it being driven by, and it'll be interesting to hear what John has to say, weather, because, again, these markets are weather derivatives.
Yeah, very, very true. And I know we did see some fairly good rainfall in parts of Brazil over the weekend. So I know we'll touch on that with John coming up. You know, you mentioned some of that managed money, and it looked like the last CFTC report that for quarter bean futures, they look like they're kind of remaining in a downtrend here. And maybe some of those shorts are continuing to grow. Is that what you saw when you looked at the latest report?
Yeah, what was interesting is that the corn, you know, they've been net short. The funds have been net short corn, basing on the legacy futures only. That's the report I look at. Based on that report, they've been short corn, net short corn for quite some time. But what really jumped out at me was last week, as of last Tuesday, the funds had moved to a net short futures position in soybeans. This hasn't been the case since 2020. So, you know, this tells us a couple of different things. One, for some reason, investment money has gotten bearish on soybeans. Could it be because of the weather situation in Brazil? Because despite everything, Brazil could still raise a record crop and the U.S. isn't able to ship anything. There's always that possibility. They could continue to build this position like they've done in the other grain markets. On the other hand, if they decide to cover, if they decide to go back to a near neutral position, that could bring some buying back in. So anytime a market does go into a net short, it always opens the door. And we've seen what the effect it can have. Fundamentals haven't changed with softer winter wheat, but funds have covered 60 some odd thousand contracts of their net short future position over the last month. And that's helped to raise the wheat price as well. So we can see that kind of skewing of the market just from traders evening out or getting out of their positions.
Well, Darren, you brought up wheat too. And I think, what was it, all 4 days last week, Chicago wheat was above its 100-day moving average. It looks like maybe the trend is higher in this wheat trade.
At first glance, that is exactly what it looks like. Do I believe it? Not necessarily. No, I just don't believe the fundamentals have changed to the degree. I think, again, these markets, particularly the soft-red winter market, Chicago soft-red winter market, is getting skewed by the non-commercial move away from commodities. So they're covering their short futures position, and that's helping to lift the Chicago market. Now, fundamentally, Kansas City's more bullish, Minneapolis spring wheat certainly more bullish, but the Chicago market is still bearish. It's got a horribly bearish, horribly weak basis market. So, I mean, if we use that as a starting point, it's hard to get overly bullish soft-red winter wheat at this point.
I wonder, too, with the calendar officially flipping over to 2024, and I think this definitely would apply most of the corn market. I wonder if some farmers just say, okay, enough's enough. I got to move some grain to pay for inputs for 2024's crop, and we just start to see the bin doors open up here in this first week of January. You know, I always hear from a lot of elevator folks and end users that this could be a pretty busy, hectic week as we officially roll the calendar to a new year, Darren.
Historically, that has been a marketing strategy, is to, you know, hold your grain till the first of the new year and then start unloading it, particularly if the weather's nice. And, you know, we can look at the forecast. And again, I'm interested to hear what John has to say, because, you know, the second week of January is supposed to bring a lot of cold and snow and everything to the U.S. So do producers who are waiting for the new year for tax purposes, for income and all of this sort of thing, move as much as they can this week? We'll certainly be able to read that in basis market. We've already seen it weakening in some cases, and we'll also be able to see it in spreads again that were under pressure last week.
Darren, let's go over to the livestock trade. I want some thoughts from you there. Cattle, hogs kind of entering into 2024 with a little bit of uncertainty, it feels like, across these markets. What's your thoughts in the protein sector right now?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, they've been under a great deal of pressure. You know, they got so high in late 2023 that when the bottom fell out, they just kind of collapsed. Now, the cattle market has kind of stalled as far as its sell-off goes. We can see it in both live and feeder cattle. Again, I keep highlighting John's conversation. I think it's going to be great to open the year. But what we're going to look at is, you know, are some of these storms that are supposed to move through, is it finally going to hit the feeding area? We're hearing about, you know, parts of Kansas that are supposed to see some winter-like conditions over the coming days and weeks. So if that's the case, if we see a weather shift, we could start to finally see some weather-related buying coming into live cattle for the feed yards and across the Southern Plains, possibly spilling over into feeder cattle as well. As far as lean hogs go, they fell to a new low at the end of December. As soon as I say, look, there's nothing bullish about this market, it being hogs, it's just going to turn around and scream higher. It's very difficult to build a bullish argument for the hogs at this point, but it can happen. I mean, I'm never going to slam the door and say hogs can't move, because, you know, they can change direction on a dime.
Definitely need to be on our toes across the board. With that, Dara Newsome, Senior Market Analyst at Bar Chart. Always appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us on AOA.
Thanks so much for having me on again, Jesse.
We'll be back with more AOA right after this. Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we examine how the modern cooperative system solves today's biggest challenges. We'll be talking to CHS experts and farmers and ranchers just like you, and we'll learn how cooperatives apply innovation and technology to help co-op owners get more value every day. Join us Around the Table every Tuesday, or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
The landscape of media has changed, and people are more skeptical than ever about where they get their news and information. While major news outlets show decreasing credibility, your local farm radio station still shows strong marks. In a recent survey, farmers rated information from their farm broadcasters as almost twice as reliable as major news outlets. Farm radio continues to be transparent, honest, and trustworthy. This message brought to you by the National Association of...
What is your greatest asset? A house? Your portfolio? What about your health? Your health is the most precious commodity you have. I'm Nikki Gillis, nurse practitioner from Provisions Health. Let Provisions Health protect that commodity with affordable health care and testing services for individuals, families, and businesses across Western Wisconsin. When you visit provisions.health, you will find information on health services and upfront pricing so that there are no surprises. Providing affordable health care and testing solutions for Western Wisconsin. Provisions Health, 3rd Avenue West, across from Security Financial Bank, Durand.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, with the calendar officially flipping over to 2024, doesn't really mean the weather pattern's going to change all that much. Here to talk about what we are watching in the forecast ahead, DTN meteorologist John Baranek is with us. John, happy new year to you and yours. Great to talk with you once again, and thanks for joining the show today. Hope you had a great holiday.
I did, Jesse. Thank you. I hope you did, too.
Yeah, I had a good holiday. You know, I spent a lot of time in north central Iowa seeing my family, and temperatures pretty unseasonable for December into January. It was warm. I almost felt like I was not in Iowa, and it's looking like at least to start this week across the U.S., some of those temperatures going to remain fairly above normal and little precipitation, at least as we start off this first week of January, John.
Yeah, overall, this week's going to be somewhat of a continuation of what we saw in December. You know, we had this kind of background ridge across really most of North America for all of December. And that's going to continue here for this week here in January. So, you know, it might not be as warm as we might have seen over the Christmas holiday, where some of us were in the 50s as far north as Minneapolis or Wisconsin, which was kind of crazy. But it's still above normal for most of us here for most of this week with that ridge sticking around. Now, there are some disturbances trying to break that down, and we've got a couple of fronts that might come up through the northern sections of the country, and there's a couple of little storm systems that move across the southern end of the country. This actually looks a lot like El Nino for this week, but we're going to see some big changes coming really for next week. You know, the systems that go by to the south here this week won't really do a whole lot. There's a little one here for today and tomorrow across kind of the Gulf Coast area. And then there's maybe a slightly larger one that will hit mostly the southern plains and may scrape through the southern Midwest with a little bit of rain snow mix as well. But, you know, overall, not too bad. It'll be this one coming in this weekend, though, that's really going to start to change things up here for the middle of January.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up here, John, because I've seen some of the early weather models, and I know sometimes, you know, folks will throw stuff out on social media way too far in advance, trying to forecast big storms like this one that potentially could happen here next week. As you look at these weather models, I mean, what are we looking at right now in terms of snow, freezing rain, et cetera? I mean, what are some of the early model runs suggesting to you, John?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're all indicating a big storm system that really starts to build out in the central and southern plains, most likely on Monday. That would be the 8th. And then we kind of move that storm system up through the Great Lakes area. And so it wraps in some colder air on the north side of that. So we should be talking about probably a change from rain to snow. Most likely we won't see some freezing rain, but, you know, there could be some in a transition zone between the rain and the snow. In terms of just where this is occurring, you know, models are still trying to figure that out. But it could be as far south as the Texas Panhandle, or maybe even, just south of the Red River there in North Texas. It looks like Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska definitely are under the gun for some snow accumulations. And then that kind of translates northeastward into the Great Lakes, too. So Missouri, Iowa, Illinois, Wisconsin, Michigan, those sorts of areas are all under the gun for potential for some heavy snowfall with the system. It is going to be a big one, too. At least, you know, models have been very consistent on it being a big storm system. And it makes sense with the type of deep trough that we're expecting to move into the west here this weekend. So that's going to be strong winds. And when you combine that with snow, we may be talking about blizzard conditions. But down towards the Gulf Coast, it's still rather warm, and it's going to be pulling in a lot of Gulf moisture. We could be talking about severe thunderstorms there across the Gulf Coast. So we've got a lot of widespread impacts from the storm system that, you know, of course, this is like a week out. So, you know, things could change. And depending on where the storm actually tracks is where we'll see the biggest impacts. But, you know, we're going to be watching this storm system for the next several days here to try and pin those things down. But it's going to be widespread impacts and a big change because behind it, we're going to get some colder air moving in.
Well, we will definitely keep our eyes on this, and I know we'll talk early next week as well once we have a much better handle on what this storm system is going to bring to the U.S. So definitely keep your eyes on the updated forecasts here working through this week. All right, John, let's move to South America. I know a lot of folks have been watching Brazil and Argentina, especially a lot of traders when it comes to the markets. Looks like Brazil saw some pretty good rains that were forecasted over this past weekend. Is that what you saw?
Yeah, and really it was over the driest areas too that, you know, they've had scattered showers and all, but, you know, some areas have been missing out. Some small areas, some, you know, moderately sized areas in central Brazil had been, you know, on the lower end of things. And those areas are the ones that kind of got some of the heavier rain over this weekend. And really that continues all through this week as well, Jesse. We got, just what we typically see during the wet season. We got widespread showers from the states of Mato Grosso to Minas Gerais and areas to the north. It's really where we typically see them and kind of the strength or even heavier than we typically see during this time of year. So that's all good as soybeans kind of transition into their fill period here as we get into January. So, that's kind of boding well for them. You know, it's been a rough season so far for soybeans in central Brazil. And, you know, we've talked a lot about hot and dry conditions kind of off and on through the first half of the season. First two thirds of the season. And, the rain that's coming here is nice and everything, but how much of that damage actually occurred is going to be kind of an interesting thing to look at going forward.
Well, and I think that's a great point you make. And, you know, especially now as we get into January, it's starting to get closer to that critical time period where a lot of farmers in Brazil, they're going to be looking at that safrida corn crop, getting that in the ground. How far behind will they be delayed in some spots, et cetera? So this is getting into kind of an interesting time period for much of that crop in Brazil and in Argentina too, isn't it, John?
You're right. And we've been kind of taking not a back burner to the weather situation going on down in South America, but it hasn't been as impactful because it's kind of been in a less critical time period. But now that we're getting towards the end of the season there for soybeans and the thoughts for the safrina corn planting and how much soil moisture is going to be available, or they're going to see big delays from heavy rain moving through. That's all going to be, a lot more interesting here over the next couple of weeks. Argentina, though, is continued to be just the bright spot down there. They had some, just light showers that moved through over the weekend, and there's really spotty showers through most of this week. But we get another wave moving through this weekend coming up, and that sets off another kind of train of waves of showers moving across Argentina. So everything's really looking good down there. There's soil moisture almost countrywide is near perfect. It's been kind of amazing. And if you look at some of the crop conditions that are getting reports out of there, I mean, it's like 1% of the crop, 2% of the crop that's, rated in poor condition. So they're in really, really good shape there in Argentina.
I should ask you, too, if we shift just a little farther north from Argentina and Brazil and we look at the Panama Canal, I know there's been a lot of talk about the low water on the canal and how that's impacting shipping around the world. Are you seeing any chances for meaningful rainfall in that area here that could maybe help out the levels on the Panama Canal as we move into January?
Yeah, what really impacts rainfall there in Panama is something called the Intertropical Convergence Zone, the ITCZ, and it kind of wavers from north to south across the equator throughout the year. Just it likes to hover right where the sun angle is the highest. So at this point of the year, that's actually over kind of Peru and northern Brazil in the Amazon. And so it's to the south of Panama. So they're not necessarily in a dry season, but typically their heavier rains are farther south than them. So that really kind of goes all the way through about March before that starts coming back north. So it's going to be a while until we see some, significant, meaningful rainfall move back into Panama. Of course, they see some showers every so often, as is pretty typical during our winter. But anything of significant meaning, anything that would really boost levels is a couple of months away. Jesse, it's going to be a while yet.
All right. Well, something to keep our eyes on. Real quick, too, John, El Nino overall, are you seeing El Nino start to fade potentially here as we get into January, or are we kind of remaining status quo right now?
Oh, we should be right about at the peak. It's kind of right around that 2 degrees Celsius line in those ocean temperatures. At least models are predicting that over the next few weeks. Maybe a little bit more dramatic as we get into April. But we're sitting right here in early January, right basically at the peak of it. So it's going to be impacting our weather for a while. We're going to see a little bit of a break in mid-January here with it, with the pattern changing a bit. But it's going to be the background feature for the next couple of months for sure.
All right. Well, we appreciate the forecast. DTN meteorologist John Baranek. John, thanks for joining us, and we will talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, Jesse.
All right, coming up next on AOA, we'll talk with Vince Peterson from U.S. Wheat Associates on the way right after this.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted card to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your car donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted.
You have work to do. You need a tractor that helps get it done. TYM is a full range of tractors designed to meet that task. With the TYM easy-to-use controls and features, switching from one job to another is easy. And with a full range of models from 24 horsepower to 105 horsepower turbo, there's a TYM tractor that's just right for the job and for you. Work smart, but you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers. Synergy Co-op, State Road 25, Ridgeland.
Milk markets were mostly lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, February milk down 10 to 15.64, March down 15 to 16.26, April down 7 at 17.07, May milk down 5 to 17.76. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets mostly higher as the trade returns to normal levels after the last two holiday weeks. Now, some strength in some of the cash markets helping to support feeder cattle and live cattle, along with weakness in the grains. Hog markets mostly lower. Again, there's a lack of contraction in hog herd sizes, and that is helping to pressure the markets. February live cattle up 342 to 171.92. January feeder cattle up 312 to 225.42. February hogs down 265 to 65.32. Chicago Board of Trade. Corn, soybeans, and wheat all mostly lower. Soybeans leading the way, sharply lower. Positive rain over the weekend in Brazil helping the corn and soybean crops there, pressuring corn and beans. Wheat mostly lower due to strength in the U.S. dollar that will adversely affect U.S. exports. New crop corn down 5 1/4 to 498 and a quarter. New crop beans down 23 and 3/4 to 1222. Chicago wheat marched down 21 and a quarter to 606 and 3/4. Minneapolis wheat marched down 7 3/4 to 7.15 3/4.
At Jerry Bear and Sons, your Golden Harvest seed dealer, their best skill is knowing how to listen. Because once they understand your operation and goals, they can offer the right products to perform in your fields. From the Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to expert insights, it's an answer to what they have heard from you. Get fall cash discounts when you order your Golden Harvest seeds now at Jerry Bear and Sons, just off Highway 25, Durant.
Resetting your password, unsubscribing from emails, printing anything. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your business doesn't have to be one of them, so you can get back to more important things, like learning how that printer works. That's simple human sense.
Your hometown auto owner's insurance agents working for you. The Jerry Thompson Insurance Agency, downtown Durand.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA. And joining us now, it's, we're wrapping up a year, moving into a new one, but it's kind of the mid-marketing year for the wheat industry. We're going to talk about that, some challenges that we've seen here this past year in 2023, and some of the opportunities ahead in 2024. Joining us now, he's the president of U.S. Wheat Associates. Vince Peterson is with us. Vince, great to have you on AOA with me today. I hope you're doing well.
Jesse, I am, and thanks very much. It's a pleasure to have the chance to visit with you this morning.
Well, let's talk about mid-marketing year and kind of an update on where U.S. wheat exports are. I know, you know, just recently we've seen some SRW sales to China. That's been a big talking point in the market trade overall. But what are you seeing right now in terms of where this wheat export market stands for the U.S. as we're in the middle of the marketing year?
Well, we really are, and we've come through quite a tumultuous year so far. You know, we've had early in the year, we had an extremely slow start to exports, and we had a circumstance with U.S. prices being considerably higher than generally around the world. Farmers don't see that so much on their farm, but when you put that into an export position and compare it to what it's selling out of the Black Sea, and particularly with a hard red winter wheat crop we had earlier, well, the last 3 years, in fact, it's just been kind of a tough start to the year. But as you said, we've seen some pickup. We've seen some change in the marketplace. We've seen some rebalancing of prices, both in hard red winter wheat and spring wheat, and we're picking the pace up a little bit. We've seen the sales to China, which now top 2 million tons in the crop year. And just as kind of a summary, we're right now at about 15 million tons of export sales, almost identical to where we were last year at this time, when actually we were expecting to be a little bit behind this year's total. So we're about 6.5 months through the crop year. We're about 3/4 of the way to our sales goal for the year. So we've actually got a pretty good pace going right now, despite the slow start that we had.
Well, and despite that slow start, and you mentioned some of the Black Sea prices, I know that's been a challenge overall for this wheat market now since Russia began its invasion of Ukraine. And Russia's had a high production and low prices. They've dumped a lot of wheat onto the world export market, haven't they, Vince?
Well, they have, and I think people are quite surprised by that. But the fact of the matter is, when you look at the numbers, there's actually more wheat being exported out of the Black Sea between Ukraine and Russia combined in the last 2 years than there were in the years before the war started. Hmm. That seems a little bit counterintuitive, but between what Russia has had record crops, almost two in a row, their exports, but frankly, the Ukrainian wheat continues to move out, and the way it displaced European wheat was rather dramatic. A lot of Ukrainian wheat had to go across the border by land, rail, and truck into the surrounding countries in the EU, and that severely depressed the prices in Romania, Bulgaria, Hungary, Eastern Europe, Poland, that area. And we had a place where probably early in this spring, those prices were $100 a ton below hard red winter wheat prices on an FOB basis. That's changed considerably. Now those prices are rebalanced. We're within about $20 a ton premium hard red winter wheat over those in the Black Sea. So we're in a better shape in the second half of the year than we were in the last year and a half in that regard.
I know closer to home, a recent challenge, we had the closure of the rail passes there in Texas and Eagle Pass and El Paso. And, you know, you think about Mexico, they're a very big customer of U.S. wheat. I know we got that issue resolved. We still have the migrant crisis down there along the border, and so there's still some unknowns. But at least for now, those rail crossings are reopened. It looks like we maybe got those reopened just in time before too much damage was inflicted, maybe on the interior on the rail system here, Vince.
Yeah, I would say we skipped a couple of heartbeats for several days during that time about a week ago now, when they closed those border crossings. The two of them, those are some very important border crossings for several of our major wheat customers. And you think in my mind, Mexico has become our largest wheat export market. It has direct rail access, and about 70% of the U.S. wheat that goes to Mexico, which is 3.5 to 4 million tons, it's a big number, goes by rail down there. So when you cut that off, that's a big problem for the Mexican flour milling customers. They've invested in grain terminals, shuttle unloading facilities, and they depend on that logistics just like our domestic flour milling companies do. So we're glad to see that resolved. We have a humanitarian problem at the border. That's a whole different issue, but we hope we're out of the woods on the rail issue.
We are talking with the president of U.S. Wheat Associates, Vince Peterson. Vince, let's turn our attention to opportunities. Let's talk about that as we move into 2024. Definitely, I feel like there's got to be a lot of big export opportunities out there to not only continue our established relationships with countries like China and Mexico, but also find new markets, too. Talk about some of those maybe opportunities ahead on the export front.
So in our case, you know, we are a very well-developed industry in the wheat area. U.S. Wheat as an organization has been out in two different forms, but since probably the late 1950s, it goes back quite a long way, and it's been in its present form since 1980. We've got 14 overseas offices. We've got about two-thirds of our 70 employees all out overseas, kind of a boots-on-the-ground marketing program. So I always put it this way in terms of new markets. If there's a new market out there, shame on us for not having been there last year, because we are really a forward-looking and that sort of thing. So we think we're well-placed. The markets are very good. Frankly, it's just a matter of our prices realigning and being fully competitive. On spring wheat, we were about $30 higher than the Canadian wheat last year. We lost spring wheat business into North Asia, into South Asia. We certainly lost hard red winter wheat business into Latin America because of the pricing structure. This year, I think the bright light is we've realigned those. I'm crossing my fingers that the moisture we've seen in the Midwest is going to help our hard red winter wheat crop. That's the one that really needs the help. If we can come up with a decent yield in that winter wheat crop this year, I think we can start to turn the corner and turn this the train back the other direction a little bit on this.
Well, and thinking about decent moisture there, I know we just saw that winter storm system come through here over Christmas time. Some of those areas in Kansas and parts of Nebraska, Colorado, maybe got some helpful moisture there, potentially. I know some folks dealt with ice out there too, Vince, but hopefully we got some moisture on that hard red winter wheat crop, or at least a start.
Yeah, well, we really need it. You know, the grand scheme of things, you know, the United States has produced, because of the drought situation the last 3 years, we've produced about 45 million tons of wheat each year in the last 3 years. Simple math, we use about 30 million tons domestically for in our milling and seed part of the equation. That only leaves 15 million tons left over unless we're pulling from stocks or doing something else, which we've been doing. So in order to export 20 million tons like we'll do this year, we're reducing stocks to do that. We need to get that back where we're producing the wheat, having a little bit on the surplus side, and then we'll be fully competitive back in the market. I think we're hoping 2024 is the year that corner turns for us.
I want to ask you, too, real quick. We just a few months ago got the announcement of RAP, the Regional Agricultural Promotion Program from USDA and the administration. Talk about that a little bit and your perspective from the U.S. Wheat Associates on what that program means.
Yeah, these are really important things for all of agriculture, not just wheat, but almost every product. Probably 70 different organizations for everything from wheat, corn, soybeans, meats, to what we call the California fruits and nuts, all that in some way or another use these programs for export market development. The basic programs we use that are USDA contracted have not increased in their monetary numbers since the year about 2002. So we're 20 years with no increase in those budgetary numbers. So this RAP program fills in what we think is a very critical point in between those things and a farm bill, which needs to come to address the sort of depreciated value of those other programs. It's a very important thing. We're frankly very glad to see Secretary Vilsack and his administration at USDA look at that and be proactive with it. And we do give them credit for coming up with an idea to fill this gap.
You mentioned the farm bill, too. I'll end with this here, Vince. We obviously got an extension of the 2018 farm bill. We got to get the new one done. And I know we're coming up into a presidential election year. Are you hopeful that both the House and Senate can work together and get a new farm bill passed here sometime, maybe in the first quarter of this year?
Well, I would love to be optimistic on that. Fortunately for us, the farm bill negotiation sits a little bit over in our sister organization, the National Association of Wheat Growers. They're the lobby group. They're the ones that work with the Congress. A lot of the burden on that comes on their shoulders. We do have a vested interest in that in terms of our own programs. But, you know, I think the political environment is difficult. I just put my wheat hat aside just a little bit. There's a lot of gap to cover on those two things. So whether we get that in the first quarter of this year, I bet the farm I don't have on that.
Okay. All right. Vince, before we let you go, anything final we haven't covered you want to touch on or anything else you want to add or reiterate for folks today?
Well, I think for us, you know, we're an international market development organization. We're we're out overseas doing the work to the advanced before sales technical servicing and the after sales servicing that we do. We're a boots on the ground organization, and finally 2023 has been the 1 year after the really 2.5 years of COVID that we've been able to be out full force on the ground, seeing customers in their plants, in their businesses. And it's for us really turned the corner on our getting our business back to normal operations. So we're really happy to be here.
Well, we were happy to have you on the show today. Folks can learn more, uswheat.org. With that, President of US Wheat Associates, Vince Peterson. Vince, thanks for joining us. Happy New Year to you, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Jesse. Nice to be with you this morning.
And once again, really appreciate the time. Good stuff there with Vince Peterson, the President of US Wheat Associates. Learn more online, uswheat.org. All right, well, coming up next, we're, of course, watching a lot of other news headlines throughout agriculture, and that includes Proposition 12. As the calendar's flipped over to 2024, where do things stand with implementation of Prop 12? We're going to talk about that and more coming up next here on AOA.
Of course I use Mr. Clean Magic Eraser to clean tough messes off my stovetop and bathtub. But then I discovered I can also use it to easily clean my patio furniture and even my shoes. I'm hooked!
And when wipes won't cut it, I use Magic Eraser Sheets. They're thin and flexible erasers, perfect for everyday messes, like gunk on my counters and sinks. They really are magical.
The reviews are in. Mr. Clean Magic Eraser and Sheets make cleaning look easy.
Why? Just think about it. Why is the number one selling brand of chainsaws not sold at Lowe's or the Home Depot? We can give you over 10,000 reasons. That's how many authorized local steel dealers you can find across the country. Visit one and you'll find a range of dependable gas and battery-powered tools, from trimmers to blowers. And you'll find service from experienced professionals. Real steel. Find yours at steelusa.com. Lowe's and Home Depot are trademarks of their respective companies.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
This is Around the Table, where we explore the benefits of cooperative ownership. Today, we're talking with Charlie Carter, Product Quality and Additives Manager for CHS Refined Fuels Commercial Supply, about how the right fuel will keep equipment running in the winter. Charlie, what happens to diesel fuel in equipment when temperatures drop, and why does that matter?
Standard number 2 diesel fuel generally does not fare well in cold temperatures. Diesel fuel can form crystals and clog filters and fuel lines, and prolonged freezing temps can cause engines to not operate properly. That can basically lead to that dreaded downtime that we all hate. So it's really important to take precautions to prevent these issues from occurring, especially in cold weather conditions.
Charlie, when should farmers switch their diesel blends?
Yeah, so every situation is going to be slightly different and somewhat temperature dependent. So it's important that you work with a knowledgeable fuel supplier who has a grasp on the diesel characteristics in their geography. With that being said, you should be blending your tanks to a winter blend when temperatures are right around the freezing point or 32 degrees Fahrenheit. It's important to blend early and when the fuel is at least 10 degrees above the cloud point of the fuel, or it won't mix well together.
When you're thinking about cost and performance, what's the best way to determine the best winter fuel blend?
So you will need to decide really what's best for your individual operation and what temperature you expect to be able to operate your equipment in. So if your operation relies on your equipment needing to be up in those harshest climates, you're undoubtedly going to need to invest in a diesel blend that's going to meet those needs. You're going to run the risk of being stranded on the side of the road, unable to perform your critical tasks. So it's best to discuss the specific needs with your fuel supplier, as they're going to be able to deliver the high quality Cenex fuels at the correct blends for optimal performance and peace of mind.
Well, thank you for joining us around the table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-844-903-1744. 1-844-903-1744. That's 1-844-903-1744.
Attorney Advertising. William Stepacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, California's Proposition 12 was a big talking point last year with the Supreme Court ruling and more of the legal fights. And it's, again, a hot topic as we kick off 2024, as inspectors are already out for Proposition 12 compliance. Welcome back here to AOA as we take a look at some news headlines. Inspections already starting up around the country in anticipation of California's Proposition 12 law. Now, while officially in effect July 1st, the law requiring animal living condition updates for products like pork to be sold in the state began with the clock turning over to 2024. Well, Michael Formica, legal strategist with the National Pork Producers Council, says inspections are ongoing.
California has approved 14 or 15 different firms to do these audits, or you can invite California out. I have heard of a couple of producers who have asked for California to come out and inspect their farm.
Now, the most recent USDA report says animal confinement legislation nets compliant pork an average of $4.94 a hundredweight premium. When it comes to Prop 12 enforcement for that premium, Formica says there are some updates.
California has exempted ground meat because it's not a whole pork. It's not a whole cut of pork from Proposition 12. So ground product would not be covered. Sausage would not be covered.
In frozen food, NPPC negotiated to make sure any products in the supply chain sold before July 1 could legally be sold.
January 1, that will no longer be allowed to be sold in California.
Formica does not think there will be any more delays. The law will be fully implemented, and there is one big concern across industries.
If you are a grocery store operator in California, if you're a consumer in California, you're already dealing with record food price inflation that has been going on. We have seen in California, price of pork is up significantly. Come January 1, I suspect that that jumps up some more.
Formica adds 60% of grocery sales in California are from small, independently run grocers.
Those generally don't have access to compliant pork, and so we're watching that marketplace as well.
And again, that's Michael Formica from the NPPC. Well, California's Proposition 12 was already having a negative impact before the new year began. Scott Hayes, president of the National Pork Producers Council, says Prop 12 is not what it was marketed to be.
They tout it as a higher standard for animal welfare. It is not. It is just simply a different standard that causes farmers to have to change the way they raise pigs, make a sizable capital investment to make that change, which is not better necessarily for the pigs. Farmers, the veterinarians, they know how to take care of pigs, not the activists in California.
It's also affecting California residents.
What we see with California now that it's been enacted is higher meat prices in California. Prices in August were up as much as 27% in California on the cuts that are affected by Prop 12, while the rest of the country's seen about a 2% decrease in price. And there's also a little bit of issue with availability of product.
And Hayes talks about what other ag sectors can learn from Prop 12.
Keep in mind, the Supreme Court agreed that this is a problem, and it's a real problem. They just didn't think it was their problem. So we still have hope that we can get Congress to see this as a real problem and get it fixed. As far as a watch out for other industries, I think certainly this opens up the door for about anything. Any state says we don't like the way another state's doing something, they have the right to regulate it now.
And again, that is Missouri pork farmer and president of NPPC, Scott Hayes. Well, dairy prices, they ended 2023 on a down note. Katie Burgess, Director of Risk Management for EverAg, talks about the 2024 outlook.
Our expectations for prices next year is kind of middle of the road. We expect it to be better than 2023, but it's kind of a tightrope. Globally, milk supply is starting to tighten up a little bit. So if supply is tighter, maybe that means higher prices. But we are still really concerned about global dairy demand. We see places like China buying a lot less, Southeast Asia, Japan is taking less product. And all of those are big customers of dairy generally and for us in the U.S.
Success in 2024 will depend on higher demand for dairy products.
If demand doesn't pick up, it could be another year of soft prices. And I think the lesson of 2023 was that prices could fall even further than you expect based on what we saw this summer. We always encourage producers to consider dairy margin protection program via the FSA office or dairy revenue protection insurance, because you can never say for sure what the future holds. So having some downside protection is really important.
And once again, that is Katie Burgess with EverAg. Well, 2024 is likely to see competition between EVs and ethanol-powered hybrids heat up as the ethanol industry makes a play for a share of the carbon-reducing vehicle market and the EPA moves to finalize tough new auto emission rules. The EPA proposed in 2023 among the toughest new car pollution rules that could force EVs to make up two-thirds of new cars sold in the U.S. by the year 2032, cutting their emissions in half. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack told the Growth Energy Summit that farmers should stop blaming electric vehicles and look to expand ethanol markets in aviation and other ways.
Farmers come up to me and they say, "Oh, will you guys stop talking about electric vehicles?" No, because we want to make sure that we continue to have manufacturing in this country. It's not going to put you guys out of business. It's not. We're going to have cars that use ethanol for a long, long time.
But Renewable Fuels Association head Jeff Cooper argues EVs could suppress ethanol demand and are not a solution.
They, in most cases, do not deliver the range that was advertised, that they have problems in extremely hot weather or extremely cold weather, you know, that there are problems with finding places to charge these vehicles.
Cooper says the RFA has been road testing a plug-in hybrid flex fuel vehicle that uses E85.
If you are truly interested, and if you are truly serious about reducing carbon emissions and doing it at the lowest cost possible for consumers and doing it in a way that doesn't compromise or sacrifice vehicle range and convenience, this is what we got to be looking at.
And Cooper says the test vehicle, a Ford Escape, got 440 miles out of a full tank of E85 and full charge, nearly double that of a comparable EV. All right, that is a look at the latest news headlines. We are out of time here on AOA today. Big thanks again to Mike Adams for sitting in for me last week. I really do appreciate it as I took a few days with the family and got to see my mom and nieces and brother and sister in Iowa for the holiday season. So again, big thanks to Mike Adams for sitting in last week on AOA. We have a lot of issues to tackle in front of us here on AOA as we get into 2024. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we'll talk markets with Don Rose from U.S. Commodities. We'll have the January episode of the monthly grind from the National Corn Growers Association. We'll also talk with Tanner Emke from CoBank. All that and more coming up here tomorrow on AOA. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Corn is native to the American continents and was unknown to the rest of humanity until Columbus arrived in the New World in the 15th century. It took less than 100 years after Columbus's discovery for corn to be introduced to farmers in Asia, Africa, Europe, and the Pacific Islands. After wheat and rice, corn is the third most cultivated crop in the world. The four nations that purchase the most corn from the United States are Mexico and Colombia, who use it as a food ingredient, and Japan and South Korea, who buy it mainly for animal feed. Around one-third of the corn grown in the United States is eaten by livestock. Another third is used in the production of ethanol fuel, and the rest is either consumed by humans, exported to other nations, or used industrially. Now that's sweet corn. That's the variety that most Americans grill or boil for cookouts or just eat straight out of a can with a spoon. Accounts for just 1% of all corn grown in the United States. These Farm Facts brought to you by the American Ag Network.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen, but you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to...
I have diabetes. I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I have asthma. I'm at risk, too.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection.